Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Jack Manuel here for another Brooklyn Buzz. And unfortunately, recapping a loss. The Nets go down to the Indiana Pacers 128-117. Thanks in large part to a very key statistical indicator. And I'll let you put two and two together here. The Brooklyn Nets took 10 free throws tonight. Hit 8 of them. The Indiana Pacers took 38 free throws and hit 30 of them. 38 free throws. Now, I understand that the Nets defense was pretty porous tonight. The inconsistencies with their switching leaves a lot to be desired. But there were some, you know, highlight plays, you know, namely Nick Claxton on some of those occasions, as well as Ben Simmons. I'll get to maybe a few of those later on. But the rest were in their bags tonight. That was certainly something to sort of note. I don't understand how a team can have a 28 free throw advantage. The Nets lose by 11. I don't think it was the... It was one of the bigger reasons why the Nets lost. But that fourth quarter is where it was won and lost. You know, the Indiana Pacers score 40 points. The Nets score 23. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are both sitting on the bench to start the fourth quarter. And you have a four-man lineup combination of Ben Simmons, Markieff Morris, Nick Claxton, and Joe Harris. Now, Ben and Clax actually have been good surrounded by the stars and surrounded by the starters during this game as well as a little bit more. But Markieff Morris is not a three-point shooter. He's a theoretical three-point shooter. Joe Harris, at this point in time, is a theoretical three-point shooter. So you're just asking for bad times when you have that combination of players out there. And I think Jacques Vaughn did a lot wrong tonight. There was, you know, he had some good timeouts, and I actually noted that on my timeline. But some of his lineup combinations were head scratching. That was the one that really was just like, really, we're not going to stagger KD and Kyrie a little bit here. Put Ben and Kyrie together. Patty Mills has been absolute, you know, barbecue chicken. He has like a couple of minutes and a couple of moments here or there, but I think the rotations and lineups tonight really stuck out. When Ben Simmons had that foul call on TJ McConnell for his fifth, and Jacques Vaughn chose not to challenge it, I thought that was a big mistake as well. Given the fact that Ben Simmons was our best player tonight, despite the fact that Kevin Durant just was on one in the fourth quarter, that took away more momentum from the Nets. And it just left them, you know, just digging upwards, trying to dig upwards, which, you know, unless you watch The Simpsons, is literally impossible. So I think Jacques Vaughn has to bear some of the blame for this loss tonight, I think. The refereeing does as well. Because Kevin Durant in that fourth quarter, who I think he scored 20 of his... How many ended up finishing with on the night? Let me take a quick check. 20 of his 36 in that final period. And one of them, he legitimately gets his eye poked out. Like, it's like he's grabs... I think it was Benedict Mathurin or Buddy Hield. Like, tries to, like, yank his eyeball out of his freaking face. Yet he gets called for a tech. Every single tech that Kevin Durant has got called on this season, I blame the opposing players and the referees. Do your freaking jobs, refs. Kevin Durant is getting physically abused and mauled. He's getting eyes poked out. He's getting slapped on the hand, slapped on the wrist, slapped on the arm. And he's not getting calls. That's why he's angry. That's why he's angry. He has legitimate anger. It's not misplaced anger. It's legitimate. And it's like, they need to save him from himself. Kevin Durant isn't a guy that's James Harden. He isn't a Luka Doncic. He isn't a guy that complains to the refs all the freaking time. He isn't a free throw merchant. You know, he's done a better job of getting to the free throw line this season. Maybe not as much tonight and in the past couple of games, but I think in large portions, especially when Kyrie Irving was out, he was doing a really good job there. But tonight, it was just like, what are these refs on? Like seriously, it was just... I will also say that Kevin Durant, despite, you know, his you know, scoring woes to start the game, he was having a real big impact still. You know, he was doing a lot of playmaking, finished the game. I'll go through his whole stat line. 36 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. The 9 boards really stuck out. Also had 2 blocks, 15 of 31 from the field. Only 3 of 12 from the 3-point line. Again, that's something that just continues to not worry me, but more perplex me, because Kevin Durant is, you know, statistically one of the better 3-point shooters that we've in the league, but Kyrie Irving was equally pretty, you know, average from there tonight as well. I'll get to him in a little bit, but you know, Kevin Durant had 30, you know, KD, Kyrie, and Ben combined for 76 points, and the Nets lose. But that's because your bench outside of Seth Curry gets 6 points. I'm gonna go around a lot, guys, doing solo pods. You know, the thoughts, they take you to different places, but I'll stick with KD. KD in the first half, I think defensively was making a real impact, as well as his playmaking out of the post. The ball movement was incredible overall. You know, 27 assists on 47 made field goals. In the first half, it felt like there was, you know, 15 or more of those, you know, 27 assists were certainly happening. Just really, really nice, crispy ball movement. Good shots to great shots. Going from the, finding the weak side action. And it was just, and it was everyone. And it was ball movement, it was play movement, it was cuts. You know, that first half, it was something to behold. In that first quarter especially, 35 to 23, the Nets looked great. You know, in my notes, I took down just a heap of a different game notes. So I'll get into sort of quarter-by-quarter thing. You know, Ben Simmons was aggressive early. He had a nice little spin move. And then there was this incredible ball movement at 12-10, where the ball just gets moved around and Kyrie Irving passes it to inside. To Kevin Durant. There was a nice little two-man game with Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons. You know, he keeps in that nice little right-handed floater. And then KD finding Royce. You know, I like it when he's in the post and he kicks it out to a three-point shooter on the weak side of the court. You know, he's just a really good passer in those sort of actions. And then there was also sort of like inverted roles where KD was sort of the ball handler and Kyrie Irving gets really good positioning inside the post, just inside the free throw line, and he just hits it over TJ McConnell on a nice inside feed. But Kevin Durant couldn't really get a lot of inside passes, you know, a lot of post passes in that fourth when Ben Simmons was out, and a lot of that was because the passing capabilities of Kyrie Irving, Royce O'Neal, Nick Claxton, they just couldn't get him, and he was just cooking. What else was there? The Nets didn't start, you know, well from three. You know, 3 of 10 from the 3-point line, and they did finish 15 of 41. So they did improve it from there, largely due to, you know, a bit of a flurry from Seth Curry in certain moments, including, you know, one to end the quarter where he had a really nice little deep one and gave the Nets even more momentum. And we didn't see any Joe Harris in that first quarter. Patty did, but him and Patty did start the second quarter. And you know, Patty had a nice little dime to Nick Claxton on this roll, and Jacques Vaughn called a good early timeout that I alluded to at 10:58 in the second quarter. But the highlight of that quarter, guys, was at 42:31, Ben Simmons just decides to go, you know what, I'm going to body the hell out of you, O'Shea Brissett. And he just goes bang, knocks him back, gets the and one call, and it was just strength and confidence and aggressiveness personified. He was superb. I'll get a little bit more into his game overall in a little bit, but I just want to get into just the little game notes that I had for you guys. At 57-51, Kyrie Irving, this He had, I think, a behind-the-back dribble into a spin move, into a step back or something along those lines. That was probably one of the most gorgeous plays of the night, and probably only Kyrie Irving can hit a shot like that. I think his balance and fluidity, you know, his brain-to-body connection is something to behold. But just the really great, really incredible ball movement. The defense did left a little bit to be desired. I think because the Nets play so much switching defense, the lack of hard switches, or like they give away some soft switches, or they're not as, you know, switched on for lack of a better term, or they give away, you know, a little bit of ground on their switches, which allows, you know, the Pacers to get into the basket. And that's where they, you know, had an advantage, 52-46 in terms of points in the paint. So I think that the switching, while it can be great, and while Clark's had some great moments recovering Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, it's not working overall because Royce hasn't been amazing defensively. I don't think Joe Harris, despite starting the season well, has become a shell of himself. You know, he's the tortoise with his head in the shell. He's not doing anything. I'll get to him in a little bit, guys. But yeah, the fourth quarter, it was an initial 17-2 run for the Indiana Pacers, which extended to a 24-4 run. That's the game right there. That was it. And that was due to the lineup combinations. That was due to poor defense. That was due to the Indiana Pacers getting to lineup. That was due to three-point shooting being just ridiculously hot. But then Kevin Durant gets himself going. He gets a little bit hot. Gets a four-point play. Clax gets to the recovery on a Halliburton block. And then he does the same thing on Halliburton again, but then decides to speak a little bit of trash and give him a little bit of a shoulder shove. Now, while it was soft and probably shouldn't have been a flagrant in the first place, it was a little bit misguided, I guess is the way I would call it, from Nick Claxton in the decision-making there. Because I think they were down by about 7 or so, and they were on a little bit of a run, you know, going back and forth, but KD was certainly cooking, and Clax was doing a lot well defensively. Ben Simmons wasn't out there. I think he should have been inserted earlier into that fourth quarter. Jacques Vaughn, again, another misstep from him. But yeah, that fourth quarter with that 24-4 run, that's the game right there. And Kevin Durant tried to lift the team, tried to carry the team in that fourth quarter, but not even a Herculean performance in the fourth quarter could lift the Nets after that. But after the break, guys, I'll dive into individually each Brooklyn Nets player, as well as some more game notes.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Now, let me get to Ben Simmons, guys, because I thought he was really, really good again, and maybe his best game of the season, and we're saying that game after game, which is really positive to say. 20 points for him, 8 of 8 from the field, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. Am I reading that right? Absolutely, because, you know, Sarah Kusak and I and Eagle were noting it, you know, in the Philadelphia game as well as tonight. His demeanor and manner when he's getting there, there's a level of comfort where it's just like, yeah, I'll take the free throws. Yeah, do Hacker Ben. I want to look up his numbers in terms of what his numbers have been from the free throw line over the past couple of games, because it's something that he deserves a lot of credit for, and it's something that, you know, Nick and I, when we were doing our previews, were like, you know, if Ben Simmons can get to like 65% or, you know, around that sort of range, because he's a career 56.1% shooter, was 61% last season. As of this point, this season, before the game, he was 61%. No, that's from the field, sorry. I mean, he was 50% from the free throw line. Now, let me get the game logs out because I want to see what those numbers have looked like of late. I want to provide, you know, the most accurate numbers that I can give to you guys. So he was 0-0 against Toronto, 3-6 against the Philadelphia 76ers, 0-1 against the Portland Trailblazers, and then 3-4 against the Portland Trailblazers. So 0-1 against Memphis, and then 3-4 against the Portland Trailblazers. So if we take in tonight, so he took 11 and he hit 6 of them, And then you take in the 4 of 5 tonight. So that's 10 of 16. So that's pretty good from Ben. But I think it's more just how he looks. And he's wanting the contact. He's wanting to get to the line. He's aggressive as hell. And I tweeted this out the other day, and I said it on the pod as well. He's having a very strong imprint on the way the Nets play. The ball movement is predicated on what Ben Simmons does. The aggression and the ability to get to the line and create open looks from the three-point line is predicated on what Ben Simmons is doing. He's running hard in transition. He's rebounding the ball well. You know, he had 6 boards tonight, had 3 assists, had a block, 3 turnovers, did foul out, you know, late into the game, but one of those, again, I thought Jacques Vaughn really should have made the call, because TJ McConnell essentially just fell down, like, and they just called the free throw, because Ben, he was up. All he did was stand up, and essentially just TJ McConnell decides to flop, for lack of a better term, and he got called for that foul, and I think that was another little momentum shift. You know, in a game of runs, which basketball is over 48 minutes, you know, in terms of tonight's game, I would have said the Nets played 30 or so minutes of quality basketball, and then 18 minutes where it was just like, what's going on here? And those 18 minutes allowed the Pacers in. It allowed that 24-4 run, extended runs, poor defense, poor three-point shooting, perimeter defense, and poor rim defense, poor switching, all of those little things. And the Indiana Pacers aren't a bad team. So this isn't a disastrous loss by like who we're versing, but it's disastrous because I think this is the win that the Nets probably should have had more than any other. They played so well for so many large stretches of the game, especially in that first quarter and in stretches throughout the second as well and the third. But the fourth quarter was a disaster outside of Kevin Durant. I think he scored 18 or 20 of the 23 points that the Nets did score, and there wasn't really any semblance of a flow, you know, throughout and stretches. And I think that was in part due to the lineup combinations. I don't know why Patty Mills is getting minutes over Edmund Sumner. It just shouldn't be happening. It's a little bit head. And even Joe Harris, because if Joe isn't going to be a three-point shooter, then he's just not going to be there. But back to Ben Simmons, great game from him tonight. Great momentum for him to keep taking. The Nets are 9-11, but Ben is at least playing well. It's just like, Zach Lowson in his podcast the other day, despite the fact that the Nets lost in that game against the Philadelphia 76ers, the idea of what the Nets can be was in that game in terms of your pace and space and ball movement and switching and all that sort of thing. But they need to get all things working on all cylinders. You know, the players did everything that they could tonight. I think that there was some low basketball IQ decisions and switches and shots making, lack of shot making, but overall it's frustrating. I think that's the what it boils down to, guys. It is really frustrating. But I'll get to Kyrie Irving, 8-17 from the field, 3-9 from 3, 4 assists, loving, and 20 points overall. I'm loving what Kyrie, KD, and Ben are doing as a trio, you know, screening for each other, high-low actions, all these sort of X's and O's things that I'm not really adept at sort of seeing, but you just sort of see their movement and selflessness for each other, and it's like, who do I guard here? Like, am I guarding Ben? Am I guarding KD? Am I guarding Kyrie? The ball's moving as well. The players are moving. You know, it makes them unpredictable, and Kyrie Irving is, you know, ever since the second half of the game that the other night against the Raptors, you know, I'm eating my words here, and I'm happy to eat them. He's great, and he was really good tonight. He had a couple of misguided defensive plays and misguided decisions on shots, but you know, he was good overall. Royce O'Neal, 41 minutes tonight, guys. 3 of 7 from 3, 3 assists, 4 boards, 5 turnovers though, and the Nets overall had 18 turnovers. And off those turnovers, let me take a look at how many points the Pacers scored. 21 points off those turnovers. To the Nets 7 off the Pacers 10. So there's another little, you know, gimme, the Nets, you know, playing poor defense, poor offense in their decision making. Yeah, that's an indicator right there. And they're putting the ball in the hands of Royce O'Neal a lot, and it's hit and miss. And I think that is how I'd probably describe Royce O'Neal's tenure as a Brooklyn Nets so far, hit and miss. You can see some great, you know, steals and stocks numbers from him. You know, he had the one steal tonight, but he gave the ball up a little bit too much. His three ball was solid, But yeah, I'm not all in on the Royce O'Neal Brooklyn Nets tenure right now. I think that, you know, I questioned the decision in the first place to give up the first, and I would have been happy to eat my words if he had been dominating defensively, but he's not doing that. I think he's shown more on the offensive side of the floor, which is not what the Nets need him for. The Nets need him as a real defensive stalwart, and I don't think he is that. I think that's what Ben Simmons is starting to get back to, and some of his defense tonight was great, especially on isolation, whether it was Halliburton, whether it was Mathurin, you know, any of those guys, and even, you know, Miles Turner in the post. You know, he was just doing it on all guys. He was great defensively. His versatility tonight was really on show, as was Nick Claxton's, who had another double-double. He had 12 points, 11 boards, 9 of them defensive, 2 of them offensive, had 5 blocks. Some of those blocks were just, like, nasty, and some of them were just, like, he came out of nowhere on the recovery. You know, he's it's a credit to his athleticism and athletic traits that he does have to be able to recover against guys. It's just like that have got by him, and he's just like, nah, you haven't yet. But that play again that I will highlight, where he gave away the flagrant, which again wasn't a flagrant, was probably a tech. There was also a bit of back and forth and joining with Isaiah Jackson, I believe it was. And it was a bit of fun, and I like Clax with attitude, but I think in this game he sort of tilted a bit too far. You know, you can't give away points, but overall his game was really impactful defensively, and we saw again, I think Clax and Simmons can work, because you have Simmons handling the ball and playing at the top of the key, and Clax handling in the dunker spot, and then guys are just moving. And they're just rotating into different positions, whether it's in the perimeter, whether it's into the dunker spot, whether that's whoever it might be. I think that it can work in spurts. And I think that, you know, that's somewhat of a credit to Jacques Vaughn to be able to unlock in those guys. But I think it's also due to the players executing and being selfless in not going, all right, I don't need the basket here. And open lanes just lead to a lot better from Ben Simmons too. So yeah, Clax was great tonight in the 28 minutes that he did play, but he could have been better. Like, this could have been a great game from him. It was very, very, very good, though. Markieff Morris, 1-4 from the field, and that one field goal was a 3. Had a rebound, did have a steal, 30 minutes for him. He was fine, but, you know, he's slow, and I think he needs to be used in the right lineups. Don't put him out there with freaking Ben Simmons and Nick Claxton. Just a boneheaded move from Jacques Vaughn. Now, who else? Patty Mills, not really a heap to say, guys. Hit a 3 ball, had a couple of dimes. The one dime I alluded to was quite nice, but he's too small. You know, he's too small, even for the likes of Tyrese Haliburton and TJ McConnell. The Nets need a bigger guard, and they have one in Edmund Sumner that should have been playing minutes, and I don't understand why he keeps getting relegated out of the rotation, because I think he can give you something. And against his former team, too, there would have been a bit of payback sort of factor that he might have shown. But Joe Harris, guys, Joe Harris. I don't know what else there is to say. But look, it was just Joe. I don't know whether Joe needs to get rested. I don't know what the solution is, other than Joe needs to hit his shots. Joe, it's sort of like frustrations we had around Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons finds his footing. Ben Simmons finds his confidence within his body, finds the aggression. You know, if Joe's not going to at least take 5-6 threes, and if he's going to miss them. Cool, that's fine, mate. But he's not doing... He's a liability. That's what he is right now. And if Seth Curry is obviously a liability, and Kyrie Irving can be a liability defensively. So when you're playing smaller guys in the positions of shooting guard, which Joe Harris naturally is, it just causes you to size down. Joe's defense has been bad. He's given away fouls. Gave away 3 fouls in his 12 minutes. He's just lost the defensive sort of grittiness that he had at the start of the season, and he's now just doing nothing. So I want Joe to get back, but, man, we need him. Like, It seems harsh to say that he's useless out there, but if he's not scoring at all, which he didn't, 0-3 from the field, all those 3-point attempts, did have an assist, did have a rebound, and 3 fouls, Joe has just been awful, like truly awful. And the stat I wanted to also throw at you guys, Kevin Durant was the only guy to make a field goal in the fourth quarter. Like, it's pretty ridiculous. Now, I think some of that is, some of that is just the lack of offensive flow. Some of that is just a lot of different things. But I just think that, you know, you can cry all you want that Yuta Watanabe isn't out there, but yeah, the defense has just left a lot to be desired. And Kyrie, look, this game was just really, really frustrating. Really, really frustrating. And that's all I can describe from it, guys. I don't have much else left into me to keep going with it. You know, there was a lot of free throws. There's all of the different things that I said. The Nets could have won this one. They could have gotten closer to 500. But unfortunately, they're not. Unfortunately, they are not. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. 5 stars on all streaming platforms if you can, guys. Hope all is well. And Nets World, on to the next one.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.